The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.9% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR car, 6.5% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
Dave Moore
on Today FM.
Got Dermot Kennedy here.
How are you? Good to see you.
Great to see you too. I am top to toe in Manchester United gear.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed you're not.
I know, yeah. If I had known.
Yeah,
we could have. If I got the memo.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good time to be doing it.
It is, in fairness, a good time
Touch
to be doing
wood,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, Michael Carrick is doing things.
It's unbelievable to actually be excited to watch them again.
It's just, that's what I keep saying to people.
I forgot,
it's like,
yeah.
It's not, I don't even necessarily mind winning or losing. I just like the fact that I'm excited about football.
Yeah.
And speaking of football, let's talk about a stadium called the Aviva.
Yeah, man.
It's getting closer.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering what prep for something like that feels like. Is it, you know, is it simple and straightforward? We're going to do the same show we do in a venue, same show we do, or is it very different?
I think you kind of approach it in the same way. Mm. There's no prep you can do, you know? Like, I think someone asked me recently, do I get used to it? And certainly not that. Like, it's hard to explain, I think, the difference between, say, Marley Park and the Aviva.
Yeah.
Because you might be like, oh, there's sort of 10,000 people in the difference. But it's a very different thing, I think. And it's far more daunting, maybe, if that makes sense. And I think I'm lucky to say the field through festivals, you kind of get used to it, you know, like with Marley Park and Malahide and stuff like that. And I don't know, the stadium, it's a whole different prospect. And so you can't get used to it, or you can't necessarily prepare for it. But to be honest, I think you can never sort of, you shouldn't underestimate the intelligence of your fan base, you know? And I think sometimes, like, if someone came to see me at the Three Arena and I was jumping around and, like, there was all these lights and all, like,
fireworks.
I think people would be like, you're not like that.
Yeah.
Like, we know you're not like that.
We've known you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so similarly, I don't think there's necessarily a limit on the capacity where that's achievable, you know? Mm. And I don't know if we spoke about Zach Bryan previously, but his show was quite inspiring for me because it was 80,000 people and every single song was just guitar and vocal. And of course, there's 18 of them on stage and it's quite a big sort of like traveling circus. But it's nothing beyond him.
It's
just
not
the
spandex and, you know, changes. And
no.
Coming up out of the floor and jumping, leaping, you know.
Totally. Like, and I think you can feel obligated to some degree to kind of, oh, I need to like have all these bells and whistles. And it's like, your show shouldn't be boring. It should be dynamic. But I think you should be yourself. Yeah.
In spandex.
Yes, of course.
Of course. <Yeah. laughs> And the Zach Bryan thing, let's talk about that for a second. Because, yeah, I mean, that, like, what a great combination of you two, I thought.
Mm.
Did you know each other?
No, what did I do? We were in the same place in Australia at one point. And so I jumped up on stage and yeah, I mean, like, you see even in the Phoenix Park in the summer gone, nuts. Like, I don't know. I'm sure he could have sold 10 of them.
That's the crazy thing, isn't
it? Yeah. But the sort of fans just know every single song. And I find that very inspiring. And I think it's as if, like, I don't know how quick his rise is, all that type of stuff, but it feels like he hasn't even been around the industry enough for someone to be like, Zach, you should try this. It's totally raw, which is
that
amazing.
Yeah, such a good way to describe it. I think so. And speaking of on stage and being up beside your people, at EP, you were up with Noel and Mike from the Cranberries. At the Hot Press gig, you were up with Noel and Mike from the Cranberries. We just ran a campaign on the station to find the 100 greatest ever Irish songs. You were in there a couple of times, good man yourself. Yeah. But the Cranberries and Zombie was number one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any arguments? Do you
any
think,
opposition?
Well, no, I mean, obviously, so many people have such strong opinions on this. And that was why we put it to the vote. Like, if you were to pick your favourite, like, is it Zombie for you? Is it a different Cranberry song? Is there something from someone else that you think is the greatest thing we've done?
I think the music is so good and our sort of, our musical kind of footprint on the world is so powerful that it's hard to pick, like, this is the best one.
Sure.
But I think for me, a very important song growing up, and the reason I kind of picked up a guitar was because I saw my cousin playing Dance in the Moonlight by Thin Lizzy. And so then I kind of learned that song. And I remember playing it at the Gaeltacht. And that was like my first time playing to people. So that song is a very important part of me kind of getting involved in music. Yeah,
that's a great answer.
So I would say number one.
Dermot, the songs on The Way to the Woods are just, they're so beautiful.
Nice one. Thank you.
I think this album is, I mean, every album is you, but I think this album might be the most you. Is that fair?
I think so. Yeah, I think, to be honest, talking about Irish music and like our cultural history. I think sometimes, do you know, sometimes you can kind of, an artist can be like, oh, I went to London to try and do this, or I moved to New York or LA to try and like do such and such. And it's become very apparent to me. And I think I had this feeling from the start that I wanted to do it from home. I think it's very doable. You know, like obviously it takes an awful lot of travel and that type of thing. But I think it's taken me this long, maybe like three albums to kind of trust, like, I don't need to do anything. I think trying is quite uncool.
I love that.
It just feels like, I don't know, I think I've been reminded time and time again that the song is enough and the music is enough. And I guess I'm at a point as well where, like, I'm at a point where if this album were to just flop entirely and just be a disaster, I'd be a bit upset, but like it wouldn't kill me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not gonna
I think that puts you in a nice place to make good music and more importantly make good choices,
and I think make music that is truest to you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah
of course.
Way to the Woods, I have a thing in my life where my cousins in Limerick lived effectively inside a wood, and it was my favourite thing in the world. So I knew I'd go down every summer and spend the summer in Limerick, and sure, you go out and play football and you'd go, but like, just, I don't know what it is, there's something about woods, and to this day if I'm driving anywhere in the world and there's a chance to pull over at a lay-by or whatever and walk into a wooded area, I'll just, I don't know what it is, but are you literally getting the weight of the woods in around you and where you live and where the studio is and where, you know, where you're, is that part of this record?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And has been a very important part of my life. I think, I don't know, it's like a sort of deeper, more flighty conversation, but I think we've gotten very far from that stuff. Do you know what I mean? And like nature and what it can mean to us and how it like affects us. And I think I don't know if you've seen, there's a movie called Wilding.
Yes.
You have seen it?
Yeah.
And the big estate in England. That's my dream. I literally want to get a big portion of land and just let it grow and let it go nuts. And I think for me, even the forest I walk in, there's these like telephone masts in the middle and I'm like a vampire when I see them. I just like, I want to be lost. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I think for me, like, it was so easy to find that feeling. And as you get older and you get more responsibilities, it's harder to kind of access that thing of like, oh, I'm lost in this forest. So I think the more time I can spend on that feeling, the happier I am. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Even I think when councils leave a bit of the grass on a field grow for bees, and they have to put a sign up and go, we've done this on purpose.
Surely
we should get to a point where that makes more sense than it's perfectly manicured. You know,
100%. Yeah. That would be a dream of mine, just to, like, I don't know, get a big chunk of land somewhere and let it go mad and just live inside it.
We've heard some songs already, obviously, for people who haven't heard the full album yet. We've got Refuge. There's a nice 50 Cent doff of the cap in there, isn't there?
I did love that, actually.
That is really good. I'll tell everyone what that is, because just in case they haven't picked up on it.
But it's funny because we wrote it in that way. But if we never make it, at least we can say we died trying. And I'm the same as you. I would think that immediately. And then the people I was in the studio with were kind of like, oh, yeah, I suppose so. But for me, it's like, no, that's exactly what it is. How cool is that? Yeah, so, yeah.
Oh, it's such a good one. I love that. There is a question from a listener come in called Ben. How are you, Ben? And he said, when we started going to your gigs many moons ago, he's been there since the start, you seemed to be a little bit shy and didn't do much of the chatty stuff between songs. How did you develop and become who you are now, especially if your natural personality is quiet?
I guess it just takes time. I used to, you know, like, I remember playing the Workmen's years ago, and I would literally have sort of little things in between songs being like, say,
banter.
I was reading, you know, and I hated it, and I wouldn't look at anybody. And I remember Noel, actually, from the Cranberries, he was saying when they first started, Dolores would have her back to the crowd.
That's right.
And him and Mike would have their hair long enough that they couldn't see anybody. And so I think a lot of musicians are like that. And to be honest, it's been massive for me socially, because I would just, I was a complete introvert my whole life. And I guess now you just, you know, I've realized, I remember I was kind of like thinking of tours and stuff, and I was just, I remember talking to my managers and I was just like, it's the same, you say the same stuff every night. Like, I just can't.
Yeah.
And so now I'll get to a point where, to me, the theme of what I'm saying might be the same between songs, but it has to change.
Gotcha.
And even if I fall on my face and I kind of, there's weird silence, I would rather that instead of me being like, this is the script.
This is the formula bit where I say this bit.
Totally.
Now.
Because talking about underestimating people, I think people go to multiple shows and they'd be like, man, that's the exact same thing you said last night. And I think that's just a bit tiring and a bit jaded, and it just dilutes the message. And so I love be a big fan of Mick Flannery, and like I love his banter is amazing on stage, which is kind of, but I do love when people kind of power through a few songs and just don't. Kingsley Honor got it, they just, he kind of says thanks and just next one,
just next song.
Yeah, that would be my dream. I don't know, yeah, talking is a tricky thing for me, but like as long as it's about the songs and the songs are either side of it and they kind of buffer the chat, I can do it.
The song,
and to be honest,
is the way you communicate though. Like
totally.
I feel that when I see you.
Like, but on a good night, if I feel good, I will ramble for a while and it's quite enjoyable. But and so that confidence has come over years. But yeah, it doesn't come easy. Like I did a thing in Australia where I presented an award at like an award show and I was reading a paragraph.
Sure.
That was it. Yeah, I was going to be on stage for 2 minutes and I was shook doing it. I like my mouth was all dry. I there was an autocue in the back of the room and I couldn't find it. I literally couldn't. My eyes were looking all around the room.
You couldn't
and
see
so
it.
I just improvised in the end. But I whatever, and the thing was huge. Like it was right in front of me, but I literally sort of blanked, freaked out. Yeah.
Understandable. Can't do it. A lovely text from Michelle as well said they got married 3 years ago. The priest wouldn't allow any secular music, so we had a spiritual wedding instead, so I could walk down the aisle to What Have I Done.
Wow.
We loved Dermot, myself and my little daughters, who were flower girls, singing all the time and all of Dermot's songs.
Ah, lovely. That song is gas because it is a good song for a wedding, but the title is hilarious.
Yeah. What have I done? And just very quickly on the new record, there are so many beautiful moments on it. I know I'm allowed to have a favourite, but I don't know if you're allowed to have a favourite. Turnstile is really special, but Often Lately.
Yeah.
That really struck, I don't know why.
That's one of my favourites,
It's so good. Like, do you have, when you produce a record like this, you know, whether it's, because you went to Nashville, you went to Norway, but most of it was done, as you said, so close to home. But do you have moments in the recording process that mean that the song maybe takes on a bit more of a personal meaning for you, or is it always just the purity of the song is what cuts through?
I think it's just case by case. There's just certain songs you're kind of like, oh man, this one feels special. And again, like say it was me, Gabe, Carey, Sam, we were in the studio making that song. But it's quite a kind of private moment, you know? I wouldn't be like, oh guys, this is the one. Like,
sure.
You're just kind of like, oh yeah, I think this one means a lot to me. And I think if you have four or five of them scattered through an album, you know, and then they become these things in your set list that you're kind of like, oh man, I can't wait to
do
that. Yeah, it's just, those ones are so important. But Often Lately be up there for me as well.
Good. I'm glad we share the same mind. Well, The Weight of the Woods, incredible album.
Thank you very much.
Now. Get Dermot Kennedy's album. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Congratulations again and best luck in the Aviva.
Thank you very much.
Dave Moore on Today FM.